got a brother over there in New York, you know.
There's your water, brother.
Battery's dead. Oh, there it goes.
I was gonna leave my coat on, but it covered up the microphone.
Yeah.
You got your Bible tonight. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I want you to find, for lack of time, because it's...
Come on, preach.
Do what I'm supposed to do. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to find verse 7. When God gives me sermons, he gives me weird ideas sometimes.
We know.
And for all of you young people, I'm thankful that there are some young people in the room. I'm thankful there are some of us old people in the room.
Amen.
But you know, as I thought about what God would have me to say to you, I have wrestled. I've got 5 sermons in my Bible tonight, 3 with paper clips ready to be preached. And I'm sitting back there singing, and I'm looking at you going, man, don't. But God had already told me that you're going to get an opportunity, and this is what I want you to say. So if you just bear with me for a few moments, we'll say. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to find verse 7, and out of respect for the word of God, if you would please just stand with me, if that'd be all right. And allow me to just read a couple of verses to you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, we're not going to do that. But I have been in services that went way past midnight. Not many times, but a handful. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named that guy,
Eutychus."
I guess. And I got the longest last name in the room, and I...
Yeah.
Bible says there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. "And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft," that is the third story, "and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and had eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. But I draw your attention to verse 9. The Bible says, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." Let me pray, and then I'll have you be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and I'd ask you, Holy Ghost of God, to have your will and way in every heart and life, starting with mine. God, I pray you'll do something in our midst tonight, in spite of the guy behind the pulpit. God, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. Father, I pray they'll hear from heaven tonight. God, we need to hear from you. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank God that I get to be here. And God, I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed myself, and I've gotten to know a few new faces and a few new preachers, and that's never an easy thing for me, and you know that. But I thank God for the men of God. I thank God for these young people, and I pray you'll help them and bless them. But God, I pray tonight you'll wake them in their soul and in their spirit. You'll wake them to the need ahead. God, give us what you'd have for us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you like. Even if you don't mind. The reason I leave my coat on, because I have two handkerchiefs. One in my back pocket and one in my coat pocket. This one is for the sweat in my eyeballs. And the other one is for when I blow my nose. And I'm going to put my glasses on and off a few times because I can't see you with them on, and I can't see my Bible without them. And so I got my little dinosaur glasses, and I just take them on and off. And people say, why don't you go get some real glasses? And I said, well, number one, I got two reasons. Number one, they cost too much and I'm too cheap. And number two, I'm too vain to wear them all the time. So I just take them on and off and on and off and on and off. My son works for an eyeglass company. And he said, Dad, you need to come and get an eye appointment. I said, why? He said, because I can give you glasses at half off. I said, yeah, I paid for your mom's glasses at half off, and it was still several $100. I said, I don't need any of those, thank God. The eye doctor said, sir, you have old eyes. That's my problem, because then I have old eyes. I looked at him and I said, take a good look. I got old everything else, too. For a few minutes tonight, if you'll allow me, they told me when I went into evangelism, my brother and friends made the statement, brother, here's what you need. You need about 10 good sermons, maybe 12. And you need about 500 titles. So, I got about 20 good sermons, and I got about 10,000 titles. And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to preach along this thought, get away from the edge.
Amen.
Or maybe, I want to preach this, are you more out than in? Maybe it ought to preach this, how did I fall out this window? And it's not funny. But the thought is.
Yes,
because I don't think Eutychus was a bad kid. They're having a church meeting. He's a church kid. I watched today as brother Bob was preaching. I watched all them kids climbing on them. Then all you know who you are. Y'all sitting up there on that concrete floor or that concrete little wall. And I'm thinking, man, any minute now, one of them going to get the crazy idea, just push their brother or their sister, and somebody going to backflip off of that 10-foot wall. And I wasn't hoping, but I had my camera in. Hey, look, I'm a little sadistic. I like pain as long as I'm not involved. This morning we're driving along. We come into the state park. Nobody told me I could wear my jeans. So here I come like a Dago from South Philly. Which is where I'm from. And I am Dago. And Shorty gets in my van and my little car. He's got a full seat all the way back with Tim McVeigh. I call him Shorty. He got in that little thing of mine, and his head was just above the, just not touching the ceiling, with the seat all the way back. And we're driving down the road. And he says, BAM! Lock on the brakes, I mean immediately. He's gonna be up there. And I'm trying to film this thing, and I got a glimpse of a The backside of the bear as he went into the woods. Tim gets in a car. He says, "You did pretty good." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I scream bear and you pull over." I said, I love wildlife. I said, "Man, I do that." And then we start talking about some crazy ideas. And a lot of evangelists are a lot alike. We go to a lot of meetings. We see a lot of young people. And can I just say this? We don't remember all your names. It's impossible to remember the thousands of people that you run across. But some will stick out. And there'll be some young people that'll stick out and I don't know what it is. They'll either stick out because they're not where they ought to be, or they'll stick out because they just seem to be head and shoulders above the crowd, just going to do something. You just know something's going to happen in their life good, and they're on the right track, and you pray for them. And I don't know that anybody has... I pray for all of you. I look over the crowd every night. I walk around them, and then I walk up and down in my room, and I pray for you, and I pray for all the preachers. And I think about all the young people that I've had the opportunity in the years in the past. I do a meeting, used to do a meeting up here, and I didn't last year. But for 15 years, I was in a winter teen camp. I don't know why all the preachers in the north want me to come north in the winter, and all the preachers in the south want me to come south in the summer. I thought snowbirds went south in the winter, and dodo birds go south in the summer. I've been a dodo bird for a lot of years. And I'm thinking of a young person. I'm thinking of two young people that this sermon is based on. You see, Eutychus was a good kid. There's nowhere in Scripture, and look, there's nowhere in Scripture that says he was a bad kid. So we're just going to use my illustration, and we'll go with it. Amen. He was a church kid. Say, how do you know? Because he was in the church meeting.
Right.
He was on the third floor. I think he probably, just like some of you that are not sitting with your parents, I mean, he was sitting with his buddies. And there are some things, something caused him. And can I say this? Maybe he didn't have the right crowd. Maybe he wasn't sitting with the right crowd. Can I say the wrong crowd comes to church too?
Right, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And somebody and his friends, they were all sitting on the, listen, they're on the third story. Now today we stopped at this little overpass in the Majigger and got out and looked. And it says, don't stand behind the wall. Because once you stand off of the wall, once you get on the other side of that wall, there's probably this much room, and then it's a several hundred foot drop. And they put that sign there, and you know, the first thing I thought of, Brother Tim, is, I want to step on the other side of this wall. You say, why? I don't know. It's just ingrained. I see a sign and it's just automatic. I want to do exactly the opposite of what it says. I don't know. Maybe you're like me. Told you I'm a little weird. It gets worse. Eutychus might have been just a typical church kid. His mom said, look, whatever you do, just make sure you stay in the building, pay attention. And you know, mom and dad sent him off, and he's with his friends, and they get in a place where they ought not be, and they're sitting. I mean, maybe you could sit on the back window. I don't know. I've not studied a lot about geography and about buildings and about construction back in those days. But the Bible says that he was sitting on the third, and they were in the third story. There's a lot of lights in the room like there are in here. And he was sitting in the window. Now you can't sit in these windows. But they were open and he was sitting in the window. And the Bible says, being fallen into a deep sleep. Because the Bible says, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. And the Bible says, and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. He fell out the window on the third story. Say, preacher, why did he fall out? I got a few ideas. We know that he fell out because he was asleep. And I wrote this down alongside of this verse. You will naturally fall the way you're leaning.
That's right.
How about that?
Yep.
Right.
You'll naturally fall the way you're leaning. You say, what way was he leaning? He was more out than in.
Right. Sir.
And can I tell you tonight, there are some things that'll cause you to be more out than in. Can I just say tonight, man, let me just give you some thoughts, just some ideas. We'll go to the house. But can I say tonight for just a few moments, it'll start slowly. He didn't get in the windowsill and immediately fall asleep. He got in the windowsill. The Bible says that he fell into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, I mean, he sat there, and I believe he was looking out the window. He might have been paying attention, because I know if you're anything like my mama, when I went to church, now listen, I was a head altar boy in the Catholic Church until I was 16. I got saved at 16 out of the Catholic Church. But when I was sitting in church, not serving, when I was sitting in the church, I had to sit with my family. They didn't let you, you had to sit right alongside them. Don't you dare even look. We were never allowed to turn around and look behind us. Man, my mom would have smacked me on one side, my dad would have smacked me on the other side. It just was, you had to be paying attention. You had to be looking forward and paying attention. But here's Eutychus, he's allowed to go sit in the window with his friends. He's allowed to just be with his friends. And in the window, he's noticing. Now I'm sure he paid attention, he's going like this. Amen. You say, I don't see that in the Bible nowhere. The teenagers are laughing and giggling because they know they be doing that. You moms are going, I can't believe they do that. You've grown up past your teenage years. I'm sure he didn't mind being in church. Doesn't say he was a terrible kid. Nowhere does it say he was a terrible kid. He was probably a half-decent kid. But he got this, listen, he's looking out the window and he just... because he wanted to be in both places.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. I believe... well, I wrote a statement down, how to tell if you're more out than in. When you distance yourself from people, from the right people and the right things.
That's right.
I don't know where the windows in this building were, but they were around the back parts of the church. The action was going on in the front of the church, and they were sitting in the windows in the back of the church, about as far back as they can get. He was sitting in the window and he just looking outside and looking at the church and looking outside and looking at the church. And what he had done, he had distanced himself in the building. Can I say, young people, mom and dad, you pay close attention to your children, because you'll find, listen, they'll get too close to the edge and you'll... We hear horror stories in the ministry as preachers about young people that have messed up their lives and done horrible things.
Right.
It always starts slowly. It's never a... It's rarely an all of a sudden thing. It starts slowly. I think it was Lee Robertson that made the statement, behind every tragedy in human character, there stems a long line of wicked thinking.
Uh-huh.
It takes a little time for stuff to develop. And I wonder if Eutychus was falling out of the window. I wonder if he woke up on the way down. And I wonder if he was thinking to himself, how did I fall out of this stinking window? Can I tell you, I believe he had distanced himself from the right people. He had distanced himself from God's crowd. There he is. He's back as far back in the church service as he could be. I've seen young people that from good families and good parents and good morals and great church and great pastor, King James only, I mean living for God, and all of a sudden they used to sit in the front row. Now they kind of mingle to the back with their buddies and their friends and their pals. And can I say they distance themselves? You'll find out if you're more out than in, if you're distancing now, at this moment, distancing yourself from the right people. I'm talking about from your parents. I'm thinking of this one young man that had an absolute tragedy. He should have died and he didn't. God allowed him to live. And in that tragedy, he came into one. I went to his hospital bed, and there he is. They thought he was going to die, and he came out of what he was in, and he looked at me and he said, "Brother D, what are you doing here?" I went, "Do you need to know where you are?" He went, "No, not really." And he couldn't move because he got his arms strapped down. He's got tubes and wires and things keeping him alive. And he looked at me and he said, "What happened?" I said, you don't know? He said, "No, I don't remember." Good kid, church kid. Parents, dad was a deacon. Good kid. But he went out one night with the kids on the back row, and they went out and one kid said, "You know what we ought to do tonight? We ought to do something crazy." And the other guy said, "What do you think we ought to do?" "Well, I got a friend, and he's got some stuff, and we ought to take some of it, and we'll have a good time." And he went out and basically got about as high as you can get. And they got in their buddy's car, in their buddy's pickup truck. And as they were driving down the street, 60, 70, 80 mile an hour, he got thrown out of the back of the pickup truck and landed on his head. He broke both of his arms, his hip. He broke his neck, cracked his skull in like three places. Face had shifted. Head swelled up about three times. The first time I met the parents at the hospital, his head was like, in my mind, he's dead. He ain't coming out of this. And I tried to console his mom and dad, because the doctor said, were not, the doctor must have been Italian because he went like this. I can't really give you any news. You know, when Italian goes like this, bow all over. And that doctor looked at me, and that doctor looked at his mom and dad and went, sorry, folks, I can't tell you anything, but we're just going to have to wait it out. I mean, the doctor had nothing good to say. He said he's had traumatic brain problems, and he's got this. And this doctor starts listening to all these things off, and I'm thinking, glory to God. And the doc said, it's just a miracle he's alive at this moment. And I went, this was one of my teenagers in my youth group. Good kid, good family. But I had made the comment. I said, you know, you got to be, let me just call his name. His name was Brian. I said, Brian, you got to be careful of what you're doing right now. I said, because you seem like you're getting awful distant. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? I said, that right there. I said, where were you the other night when we had church service? Well, I said, always an excuse. I said, Brian, you're a good kid. I said, you're a bright kid. I said, you got a bright future. I said, don't screw it up by distancing yourself from the church, from your parents, from me. I said, I love you.
Yeah.
I said, Brian, when was the last time you read your Bible? And you know how y'all are. You the other day. I said, what other day? What did you read? What chapter? What verse? You ask a lot of questions. I said, well, I don't like to be lied to. I said, I have five teenagers too. Or at the time I had five kids. I said, I have five children too. And I said, they like to lie too. You know why? Because they're just like their father. Amen. Can I say, you'll get in trouble when you distance yourself. Listen, you're getting closer and closer to the edge. And one of these days, you may have to, you're going to fall. You're going to fall asleep and fall out of the window. And I mean, maybe on the way down, you're going to wake up and go, how did this happen? Can I say, you'll distance yourself from the right people, from your parents, from your pastor, from the right friends you used to have. Now you got a new group. You know, them ones that are out just on the outskirts that really don't care much about God and don't care much about godly things and don't care much about purity and decency and holiness and being in church and being around. Listen, as far back as they can get, you'll sit. I'm not mad at anybody tonight. But can I say tonight, you better be careful. Because one of the first things I believe, before you fall out a window, before you go into tragedy, you'll start distancing yourself from the right people. You'll start distancing yourself from the right things. The Word of God won't be important anymore. The church won't be important anymore. Living for God won't be important anymore. Can I say, you won't want to be involved in spiritual things. You won't want to be involved in singing in a youth choir. You won't want to be involved in going to youth meetings. You'll say things like this. Well, y'all do the same thing, play the same game, say the same thing every youth meeting. If that's coming out of your mouth or in your brain, it's because you've distanced yourself already. You're already propped up on the ledge on the third story window. And can you feel it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You distance yourself from going to spiritual things and being part of the teen group and the youth activities at your church. You've distanced yourself from visiting and caring and helping and wanting to be a part. I mean, bless God, when the last amen is said, you're the first one out the door. Hey, mom and dad, I'll meet you in the car. Can't wait to get out.
Right.
You're distancing right. yourself. I tell you what scares me, even with adult people. I see families, we've got them in our church. I mean, when the pastor's saying amen, as he's saying amen, with his head's bowed and his eyes are closing, he's closing the closing prayer. There we're standing. They're already making their way out to the door. And I'm going, ooh. Trouble. All the lights and the sirens in my brain are going, whoop, 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 whoop. Danger. Because you can't wait to get out. I went to one family a couple weeks ago. And I met him out in the parking lot. I saw him leaving. I ran out after him. I did the same thing he did. I left when he left. He was praying. Pastor was praying. That guy was scooting out. I scooted out after him. He's a friend of mine. I love him. His name's Willie. I went, hey! Out in the parking lot. Pastor, he ain't said amen yet. My buddy's out in the parking lot. I said, what's wrong? He said, what do you mean, what's wrong? I said, service ain't even over. You didn't even say goodbye. I said, you've always hugged my neck. We've always talked. What's going on?
Nothing.
I said, you forgot who to talk to. I said, you're my friend. I love you. What's going on? This guy's 35 years old. You know, he's not a kid. I spent about 15, 20 minutes with him. And he had all the walls up. And I said, Willie, I don't know what your problem is, but you need to understand something. You're getting mighty. I said, let me read you something. And I read him these verses. And I read him verse 9. And I said, Willie, I said, you're already propped up in the window on the third story. I said, and you're going to start to get drowsy. Before you know it, the devil's going to take you out of the race. I said, you got a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. Better be careful. He called me about 4 days later. And we talked for about 2 hours on the telephone. Thank God for unlimited minutes on the cell phone. He just started explaining problem after problem after problem of things that he's going through. And I said, and I tried to give him some help. And I said, Willie, let me ask you a question. Have you gone to the pastor? Here's what he said. I'm embarrassed. I said, don't be embarrassed. I said, you know the problems you're having? I had them serving God. I had to go to my pastor. Now when I have a problem, I call Brother Bob. I go to my pastor. My pastor, and then I'll tell Brother Bob, hey, Brother Bob, pray for me. What problem you got now, Lou? A lot of them. And I pour my heart out to my pastor. Be careful of me. You don't distance yourself by thinking, well, they don't really care and love me anyway. Sure they do. That's a lie of the devil. Who would come to Black Creek? Nobody's saying. I heard Brother John Ashworth make this statement. He said, nobody wanted the pastor in Black Creek. Nobody wanted this church, and nobody wanted me. He said, he said it tonight. We're a perfect match. Hallelujah. Don't you for 1 second think your pastor don't love you. Your pastor don't care about you. He might not understand all that's going on in your life, but know that he cares. He's given his life to God to serve him and you. And you'll be, listen, the first thing, you'll get distant. There'll start to be some distance going on. Can I say, the second thing will happen, that boy, he's watching the preaching, looking out the window. You don't want to get in trouble, so you pay attention. Well, mom's looking. Mom ain't looking. He goes, what is he? He's not only distanced himself, now he's distracted. He's distracted. Can I tell you something tonight? There's a lot of distractions in the Christian life today. Lots of distractions. One of them's this thing. Amen. You're welcome. Distractions. Things that'll just come around just to mess with you. Just to take your mind off of what your mind ought to be on. My phone's in the back row. It's on vibrate. You say, why? Because I've got a few emergencies that I'm praying about. Some things that we're all praying about that I've asked God. And I'm waiting to see. We're waiting to hear what God's going to do. Most of the time I leave it out in the car. In between the seats. Locked in a glove box. Why? Because that crazy thing will go off in the midst of whether I'm preaching or whether I'm in a church service listening to preaching. That thing will go off and right in the middle of something where God's about to give me exactly what I need for my problem. And that stinking phone will go off. Number one, who's calling you on a Sunday or a Wednesday when they know you're in church?
Yeah.
Hello! And by the way, you're not that important. You need a stinking phone.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Amen.
My children didn't have a phone until they were out of high school.
That's right.
You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, shut up. It's my sermon anyway.
That's right.
I'm trying to help your teenagers.
Yeah.
They don't need a cell phone.
That's right.
When my daughter went somewhere, when she went back and forth to work, I gave her mine. And I said, don't use it unless it's an emergency, because we had a home phone. And I gave her my cell phone. We got too many crazy people nowadays. Hey, you're 6 and 7, 8 year old. Well, he's got to have a phone like everybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody home? That's a distraction.
Right.
Don't allow your child to download a Bible app and not bring their Bible to church,
yes,
but just their phone.
Yeah.
I've seen preachers stand behind pulpits with iPads. I'm sorry.
You're
all right. Brother, you ain't all right. I can go home. My car goes home too. I've been asked to leave. That's why I don't go to a lot of places.
Because
I'm very opinionated.
Yes, sir.
Bless God if you got. Here's what I pray for every pastor, every preacher, every person that I see in church with an iPad. I pray, oh, God, drain the battery fast. I do. On purpose. I had one guy, it went out. And I shouted. I went, yeah, what happened? He said, I need to get my plug. I said, you need to get your Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? We don't know whether you're paying attention to the Bible, or whether you're playing games, or whether you're on Facebook, whether you're sending your friend a message.
Good,
yep. When you got your Bible in your hand, we know what you have. We know what you're doing. You can fake it and be right in front. Listen, distractions. That phone's going to distract you. All these crazy things in the name of gaming. Our phones aren't even phones anymore.
Right.
They're really not. It's literally held by the acre in your hand. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, what are you talking about, preacher? You know what I'm talking about.
That's right, they do.
That's good, brother.
That stinking telephone can do more than, listen, they don't even make, most of them, they're not made to just make phone calls. Remember when their phones were this big? And if you were going to text a message, you had to hit, you know, you had to hit the button 3 times to get your letter. Amen. That was a cell phone. When you couldn't send a picture or take one because it didn't have a camera in it. Now these stinking things do God knows what, because I have no idea. They don't call them a smartphone for no reason. You got to be pretty stinking smart to use it. And I'm not. I am technologically challenged. He's not. So I asked, listen, my children, I asked them, how do you work this thing? Dad, you don't even know. Just work this stinking thing and shut your mouth. I'm 58 years old. I don't give me a lot of why I want to learn stuff. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, especially if they don't want to learn. So I hand him the phone and say, fix it. I called my son today. I said, it's broke. What do I do now? He said, why don't you try turning it off and turning it back on? I said, I just want you to know that I hate you just in case I get cut off. My son says, yeah, Dad, I know. He's my youngest son. He is Lewis, and he looks exactly like me. Poor kid. Distractions. Can I help you? Boyfriends and girlfriends. Distractions. Distraction. You say, I don't appreciate that. You're 15 years old. You don't, and you're a little, you're a pretty little girl. You don't need some ugly boy sitting alongside of you.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I love it. Shut up. You have no idea.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We're mixed up in this country, and we're messed up in our church, and we'll let some of that junk go on. Well, you just don't understand, preacher. My daughter and my son, I mean, they're just, my daughter and her boyfriend, they're compatible. And sometimes you want to slap parents.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I've had parents and their children in my office mad at me. Because I said, they're not going to sit together in church.
Yep.
They're just not going to do that. Because they want to sit this close. Dude, that ain't going to happen. This just ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And this ain't enough room if you're dating my daughter. Because daddy carries a gun all the time. Amen. Yep. When you think Italian, you think knife, gun. Not in that order. Think about that for a minute. King Philip Antonio, Italian. It'll click any second now.
Oh, I get it.
Hey, so don't laugh. Some of you ain't got it yet. And it is much closer than you think. Listen, distractions. Things from the outside coming in. Boyfriends and girlfriends, where you're focusing your attention on them when you as a single person ought to be focused in love with God, in love with your parents, in love with your siblings, not worried about that other jump right now.
Amen.
That'll cause you to come.
Amen.
So, preacher, I don't like you. I don't care. I didn't come to be liked. I come to simply tell you the truth. I'm going to skip over a few things. We'll get to another one. Can I say not only distancing yourself or you're more out than in, you'll get distracted. Can I say this? You'll get disillusioned. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about people will let you down. People will let you down. People will say things and not do them. People won't keep their word. You'll get disillusioned. Can I tell you something? I've been in evangelism for about 30 years. I've been disillusioned by pastors. I've been disillusioned by churches. I've been disillusioned by Christian people. I've been treated better in some churches. I've been treated better I've been treated better by the laws than I have in some places I've been.
Yeah.
Amen. You're welcome. As a matter of fact, I've got a bunch of lost friends that I'm working on, praying for, and witness on every time I get a chance. But they're my friends, and they know I'm their friend.
Amen. That's right.
But you'll get disillusioned. Young people, listen to me. And parents, before you crucify me, hear the whole statement. Don't go, I can't believe it said that. Your mom and daddy don't know everything. And they're not perfect Christian. They're sinners saved by the grace of God if they're saved, just like you. They're going to make mistakes. Any parent in the room ever made a mistake? Yeah. Better raise your hand. You know you have. I know I have. And I've gone to my children and said, Daddy was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I should have let you do that. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Preacher, we okay so far?
We're fine.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
You're right.
Amen. I just make sure I ain't got to pull my gun. That's all. I'm just kidding. Not really. Disillusion. Because this is New York, before you're done here, you can get shot by a lot of people. Disillusion. Parents that say one thing and act another way. I was guilty of that for the longest time. I think you said it, or you said it one of the first nights. Said, parents drive to church, screaming and hollering, cussing all the way to church, cussing at each other, yelling at each other, screaming at each other, screaming at the kids, and then you get out of the car, and you get there, and hey, how you doing, brother? Now, man, man, he's so good. And your kids have listened to that trash all the way to church. And they look at you and go, you stinking hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You're a stinking hypocrite. And here's what that does, Mom and Dad. That causes your children to be disillusioned at the whole thing. Because if mommy and daddy's a hypocrite, then the pastor is too, and his wife. And so is Deacon so-and-so, and Sister so-and-so, and my Sunday school teachers. They're all the same. And then you'll start looking for excuses.
That's right.
You'll start looking. Instead of looking for the good, instead of looking for what's right, instead of being forgiving, you'll say, oh, they got a problem. They're just like my parents, all a bunch of hypocrites. Whole church is full of hypocrites. Welcome to reality. We all make mistakes, weren't we? But I'm afraid you get disillusioned.
Oh.
There you'll be in that back. You'll be sitting in that window like this going. Disillusioned. Spiritual things will seem useless and unimportant. Maybe unattractive as you get disillusioned and you get deeper and deeper into this thing. They'll become unneeded and unnecessary. The world will get to looking real appealing. Let me read you a verse. First John chapter 2, the Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But listen, you'll get disillusioned and the spiritual things won't matter, and all of a sudden worldly things start looking really good. And now instead of listening to the preaching, you're just going like this. Man, I wish I was out there. I'm tired of dealing with all these bunch of hypocrites. He just leans up on up, you know. And he's more out than in.
Yep.
disillusioned. What once was important is now useless and unimportant. Spirituality is unattractive now, seemingly unneeded, unnecessary, don't even seem reasonable anymore. And it definitely isn't fair. Why can't I be like everybody else? Why can't I do what everybody else is doing? Everybody's doing it. And wrong answer. Everybody ain't doing it. But because you're disillusioned at spiritual things. Because somebody's let you down. And can I say this? You're going to get let down. Get used to it. It's part of life. You're going to get let down. People are going to disappoint you. You know why? Because we're all a bunch of sinners. We haven't arrived yet either. And I told my children, they got to be younger, as they got to be a little older. I said, listen, you got to understand, mom and dad aren't perfect. Mom and dad aren't perfect. My daughter looked at me and she said, yeah, we figured that out a while back. I said, when did you figure that out? She said, the first time you and I and mom, the family was driving to a meeting, and that guy cut you off in the car. Please don't cut me off when I'm driving somewhere. And you blew the horn and you were yelling at him. And mom leaned over and said, honey, he can't hear you. Y'all have never done that, have you? As your husband is making a fool of himself, he's red in the face, and he's screaming. And my wife leaned over and said, honey, he can't hear you. And I turned around and I yelled at her, told her to shut up. Remember the bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Which one?
The one that says Jesus saved on the back.
That's why I don't have them no more. And then she said, with my wife with tears in her eyes, said, honey, the kids are in the car. Can I tell you what I said, young people? Well, they just got to deal with it. My wife's now got her hands in her face, hands in her face and crying, and I'm driving down the road, and it's silent. We get out of the car, and I mean the doors open, and kids scurry off to their class. And I get out and go, hey, man, God bless you. It's good to see you. And my wife's in there wiping makeup off her face. And I'm the assistant pastor. Hello. This was a long time ago, praise the Lord. My kid said, my daughter Lacey said, Dad, that's when I figured out that it's possible for even my dad to let me down. And I'll be honest with you, that tore me apart. That literally ripped the guts right out of me. I went, oh my goodness, my daughter is disillusioned at her father. And I said, honey, she said, Dad, we forgave you. You scared the fire out of us. But we forgave you. She said, but Dad, I realized that you're human just like the rest of the world. I said, why didn't you get disillusioned? Why didn't you blow out? She said, Dad, I knew you loved me. My daughter was old enough to give her daddy the benefit of the doubt. Can I tell you something? People are going to let you down. Your parents are going to let you down. Maybe the pastor is going to let you down. Your peers will let you down. I call it playground Christianity. We can be in love with somebody one minute, hate them the next minute, the next day we're all friends again. That's foolishness. I've seen people, sisters, that sat in our church, one sat over here, one sat back over there, as far as they could get away from each other, mad at each other. 2 months later, and they're both Italian. 2 months later, they're all, man, everything's good, everything's good. A week later, back, I said, now what's wrong? And it was a standing joke amongst a couple of us. I said, I wonder how long before the sisters are mad at each other. They looked at me and they said, well, you're an Italian, they're Italian, what do you think? I said, I give them a week to 10 days. 7 days on the money. You'll have a friend and they'll say something stupid. And you'll confide in your friend and you'll tell them something that you don't want nobody else to know. And then they go blab it all over the place and you feel like an idiot. And wounded, and you feel like you've lost all confidence in now in everybody because your idiot friend that's 13, 14, 15, 16, just like you, let you down. And you become disillusioned. I don't want no part of that group no more. And there you are, you just sitting on the third story back window, half in and half out. Disillusion. More in love with the world than you are with Jesus. You become disinterested. Disinterested. You'll be more interested in playing than preaching. You'll be more interested in working than in worship. By the way, I find a lot of teenagers trying to make a bunch of money. I know you've heard it a couple, three, four times. But I find a bunch of teenagers, by the time they're like 15, 16 years old, they're like, I gotta get me a job. Boys, I gotta buy me a car. And at 15 and 16, instead of being in church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night, parents have let them get jobs after school.
Yeah. Right.
And taking them right out of the race. You stuck them on the third shelf with half of their body in, half of their body out. Because now they're away from the worship of God.
Yes.
More interested in making a living than learning how to live. More interested in the kids hanging on a street corner than the King of Kings. More interested in sleep than safety. More interested in scoring than the Savior. More interested in sliding in the sliding board than the souls of man. You're more interested in sports than spiritual things. Way more interested in the ball game and what's going on outside than the Bible and what's going on inside its pages. And you get disinterested, disillusioned, and distracted because you started to distance yourself. Now all of a sudden, this disinterest, it's grown to the place where now you're more out than in and you'd rather listen to that rock music that you used to think was horrible. Now it's kind of appealing. Dude, I can see why everybody likes it. And can I say this? It is appealing to the flesh for a little while. But that's all its purpose is to appeal to the flesh to get you to do something stupid.
That's right.
That's all it's for. And by the way, there's no such thing as Christian rock either. Except your name is on my foot is on the rock and my name is on the roll. But there's no Christian rock. I've never been hit by a Christian rock. There's no such music as Christian rock music. Listen, your speech will start to change. Because now you're disinterested in all the things that are spiritual. You don't care nothing about preaching and worshiping and paying attention to the Word of God and living for God and worried about Jesus. Now you're starting to sound like him. You're starting to listen to what they used to listen to. You're starting to go to some of the places they go to. And you're disillusioned and you're disinterested and you're more interested in the world than Jesus. Can I say you'll go from disinterested, you'll start dozing off. I've seen kids come into church, they almost might as well bring their pillow. They get in the seat, men are gone. And I'm looking at parents going, you must wake your child up.
That's right.
Now, not your tail. You need to do what you got to do. But I'm talking about a 15, 16 year old. I had a full time job on a farm. I had my license. I had responsibility.
That's right.
I didn't fall asleep in church.
That's right. That's right.
Man, I worked 40 hours a week, went to school 40 hours a week, and I didn't fall asleep in church. I never let my kids live in church. After they were about 10 years old, 8, 9, 10 years old, I mean, bless God, if dad has to stay awake, you got to stay awake. Amen. But I tell you what will happen. When you distance yourself and you get in that third story, you get in that window, and you start looking out going, hey, man, it looks a lot better than in here. These people in here are crazy. And I'll tell you what will happen. You'll go from distancing yourself. You'll become distracted as you keep looking out the window. I believe Eutychus was a good kid, but I believe he kept looking out the window. He got disillusioned. That disillusion turned into disinterest. That disinterest caused him, he wasn't worried about nothing going on in the church no more. He dozed off. And can I say this? He dozed off and died. Now, there's been some preachers that have told some stories about their life and how God blessed and how miraculously God brought them out. God did some unbelievable things in their life. But can I tell you this? Not everybody who goes into sin makes it out.
That's
matter of fact, most of them don't.
That's right. Vast majority.
Thank God there was a man of God and that had God on him. That when that boy fell, the Bible says he fell down dead. When he hit the ground, he was graveyard dead. He was deader than last year's Christmas tree. I mean, he was gone. Flatline. Some of you are on your way. Some of you are on your way. You've already propped up in the third story window. You're already looking out at the world going, hey, that looks pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Man, maybe I'm going to try some of that. And before long, I believe he fell asleep leaning out the window. That's why he fell out. Because you'll naturally fall the way you're leaning. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Let me ask you a question, young person. Let me ask you a question, Mom and Dad. Shouldn't we snug up close to God? Shouldn't we get close to Him? Shouldn't we get in the Word of God? Shouldn't we decide? Listen, let's decide. I don't want to be the next illustration. I don't want to be the next illustration. I don't want to be the Brian Brother Lou's talking about. The kid that just as they did that, that basically died, knew they had to shock him 3 times to get him back to life. Can I tell you something? He'll never walk properly again. He'll never be able to pucker his lips and kiss his wife like he could have if he paid attention. Because his face broke all the bones in his face. All I'm saying is this. When I looked at him, he looked at me when he came to and was starting to make some sense. He looked at me and he said, "Preacher, Brother D, what happened?" I believe when Paul put his hands on Eutychus and brought him back to life, God brought him back to life. I believe Eutychus, it doesn't say, but I believe Eutychus said, "How'd I fall out the window? I got an idea. You got disillusioned. my people. Stop putting your eyes on people. Put it on the Lord. We're going to let you down. We're just people. You're going to get distracted. By the way, this is a great man. He's a great preacher. That's 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 a great man, he's a great preacher. That's a great man, he's a great preacher. Guess what? That's a great man, he's a great preacher. Guess what? They're all people. They're all sinners saved by the grace of God, just like the rest of us. And we'll cause you maybe to get distracted because we're not perfect. We'll cause you maybe to get a little disillusioned at the whole thing because we occasionally make mistakes. We're not perfect. But don't follow, listen. Don't look at me for all the answers. And don't just look at my life. You look at Jesus Christ. And you do what you do, not because he says so, not because he says so, not because he says so, but because he says so. Out of this. Out of the Word of God. You see, my friends, tonight I'm afraid that a lot of folks are going to die early and going to fall out and going to ruin their lives. The Bible says this, Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. All the sermons you've heard. All the messages you've heard. If God hasn't spoke to your heart somewhere along the line, something bad wrong. I'll tell you what it is. You tucked up on a windowsill on the third story. Like this. One of these days we'll get a call. Did you hear about so-and-so? I've got that call. Did you hear about so-and-so? I don't like those calls. I don't like those calls. Can I ask you tonight? Can I ask you tonight? Decide. I'm going to come in out the window. I'm going to sit down there where God's people are. And I'm going to be involved. I'm going to be involved. I want to be a person involved. I don't want to get taken out of the race. Listen, I'm going to get disillusioned. I've got a problem. But I know that ain't the right seat. Can I ask you tonight to do the right thing? Say, preacher, what's the right thing? The right thing is to get your heart right. The right thing is to take your eyes off a man. Put it on Jesus. Take your eyes off man. We will let you down from time to time. Simply because we're flesh and blood. But don't distance yourself when there's a problem. Don't get distracted by the world and what's going on around you. They ain't got a clue. I'm thinking of a young lady right now who I think is in heaven simply because she didn't listen. And I watched her, Brother McVeigh, I watched her distance herself. And I watched her just get disinterested with everything that was. And it was all because of a boyfriend in the wrong crowd. And now she's gone. Matter of fact, they're both gone. Killed in a car accident on a Sunday night when they should have been in church. See, what are you saying, preacher? Eutychus was in church. but he wasn't really in.
Right.
He was more out than in. And he fell the way he was leaning. That's what he's saying. Are you more out than in?
Good, brother. Amen.
Where is that? Is it in the window?